It is so marvelous to see your cultural sensitivity. Oh, my God. You know, when I get to heaven, what I'm hoping that I can do, I'd like to start a club, a preaching club in heaven. It's going to be called the Eutychus Club. Eutychus was that young brother that fell asleep when Paul was preaching. Look, you can't come to our club, my club in heaven, if you can't preach a month-long sermon. We're going to be preaching in heaven. I'm just saying. Look, what you say, a month-long sermon? Look, what are you going to be doing all these centuries? A month is nothing. Quit crying. I mean, guys, I can see clearly now. I can see clearly now. Look, my job, I've got the best job in the world. I get to help people master the core of the Christian faith in places where no one has ever heard about it. I mean, nothing. Let me ask you, if you only had a couple of days and that's it, you would never see these believers again. You had 2 days. You had 2 whole days. What would you teach them? What would be your curriculum? You only have 2 days. Okay, you have no more than that. You've got 2 whole days. They're all eager. They're leaders, elders, church planters, pastors. Well, you know, that is sort of my job. My job is to figure out what is the core of the Christian faith. And honestly, guys, I think that we are distracted. That was the argument that I made in the first thing. I think we just get mixed up. Christianity is very easy. I'm not lying. I love what Luther said about the deepest theology. He said the deepest theology, you can play with children in it and they will enjoy it. You can drown an elephant in the same theology. Guys, it's not different truths. It's the depth of the same truth. Let me say that again. It's not different truths. It's the depth you understand of the most basic truth. That's why I love Vacation Bible School. I came from a ministry, we really took Bible Club seriously. Bible Club was just everything. We talked through the whole Bible. These were in communities around the city, the inner city. We wanted them to see things as it were from God's point of view. I can see clearly now. And I think that the biblical story is the center of that. Now, I gave you, you should have seen a little brochure like this at your table. I would strongly urge you to read it. This is the Bible in a brochure, all 66 books, the basic outline of the Bible. This is the story of the Bible. And look, we've turned it into a poster in other places. Look, I am convinced that you could give me illiterate people who didn't know anything about Christ, wouldn't know Jesus from Jay Leno. Give me a few hours with them. I can train them in the basic defense of the historic Orthodox faith. Because our faith is a story. Everybody loves stories, right? If you get the story, you get Christianity. And if you want a disciple, I don't know what you look. Many of you are navigators. That means that you have all kinds of curriculum. You have curriculum. Oh my goodness! And a lot of it is wonderful. Look, some of us teethed on the wheel. Shoot, the wheel is where it's at, right? Come on now. What are the spokes? Christ is the center. Obedience is the Christ. That's the will. And the word and prayer. And that's what I'm saying. I write music. I wrote a sort of a marching band song to that years ago. I love it. I love it. But guys, it's not just any word. It's not just the Bible. It's the word of Christ. Christ is the center. And in some ways, we've got to get back to that. That's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about what I think the church's role is in that. There's a song that's going to sort of open up what I'm going to do with you guys. It's called You're a God. These are all songs. You can go to TumiProductions.com, is it? TumiProductions.com. You'll see all this music that we have essentially created for those who to sort of orient them around biblical themes. Here's a song that we produce called You Are God. Let's let this introduce my statements today. Why I wanted to open my teaching with that song is that it cuts right to the core of what all of this is. The purpose of life is that God is reclaiming all of humankind back to himself. The goal of life is to turn rebels into worshipers. It's to acknowledge that he is God. This is, to me, this is what I love about ministry. This is why I've been doing it nearly a half century. the unstable communities that we have lived in and made disciples in are nothing compared to this present moment. This is an opportune time. We live in one of the most unstable moments. Guys, you know it took us from Adam to early 1970s to get 2.7 billion people on the earth. Since the 70s, we've grown to nearly 7.5 billion. We've grown more in the last few years than it took us centuries to get. If Christ the Spirit was to fall on the earth today, we'd see more people come to Christ in our lifetime than all previous lifetimes put together. This is a great moment to be a Christian, man. And if you're hungry for souls, oh my goodness. I know that there are some, I thought for sure at a Navigators conference there would have been some clapping. Look, you guys are equally excited about souls. You just don't show it the same, right? Guys, foundations are giving way. That's not a problem. Only the things that cannot be moved will remain once the shaking stops. Remember that great text in Hebrews? Everything's going to be shaken, and then the things that can't be shaken are going to remain. Guys, there's a story that cannot be shaken. It'll never change. Doesn't matter what politics are, governments go. Doesn't matter what the ethics are. I have a PhD in religion. And so I got the wonderful joy of studying all the world's great religions, African religions, Shintoism, Taoism. Look, my advisor was the president of the Catholic Theological Society. I taught courses with rabbis. I went to colloquial with Sanskrit. You could get a PhD in any religion where I was at. For 100 years, they've been giving out PhDs in religion. Look, Christianity in the West was a tiny little sliver in our department. It's a school of religion. So I got to study those. And dear friends, with all of those, and I love to go. I was the token black evangelical on every committee to talk about anything. You know why? Because we've got a great story. There wasn't a time I missed. If they said, Don, we want you to count me in. I'm on there. I'm there. So I taught courses with rabbis, and I was around Sanskrit people and imams and all of that, because our story is distinct, and you need to know discipleship for me in books and stuff like that. It's the story, and I can share this story with people who can really understand it. It means that we have to sort of constantly be in a mode to rediscover how to tell the story. The story is simple. You don't have to read to know the story. Dear friends, there were many people who have come to Christ, made disciples, planted churches. They don't even have a Bible. Did you realize that 90%, 95% of all the world's pastors have no formal training at all? None. 95%. If you have any sort of theological training in the world and you're in ministry, you are rare. Very rare. Guys, don't have any fear. Our story can be told. Our story can be embodied. Our story can be lived. To me, the smartest ministers among us are those who can tell this story in an engaging, transformative way. It's a story, though. That's why you can put it like this. You can put it in stories. Paul, I'll never forget how shocked I was when I was in a Greek class at Wheaton, and we're just threading away the scholars of tomorrow. The humble few, studying our way. Look, we were going through this Greek poetry class. Great, reading it in Greek. And we're reading all this stuff in Greek. And there is Paul's sermon in Acts 17 in Greek. There's no Abraham there. That poem, guys, was written to Jove, to Jupiter. That means that if Paul can quote poems from Jupiter in Greek, what do you think a black man can do in the streets of America? Guys, do you understand what I'm saying? It's a story. Look, I'm from a family of storytellers. We can really tell stories really good. And we all think, you're not going to outdo me today. This is my day to tell a story. So we'll get together, and our stories will start like, in the seventh minute of the seventh hour on the seventh day of the seventh month, the seventh son was born. Now, you know right then, look, you can hear that and know that's going to be a good story, right? You already interested. What's up with all them sevens? Oh, this is going to be a seven story. Now, keep going, keep going. Guys, this is a story. What I want to do is for you to awaken to the power of the story. The story is the key. Not materials, not programs, not courses, not seminaries. Dear friends, I have started thousands and thousands of students around the world in seminary, but it's not about that. I want them to master the Christian story of Christ. And if you master that, you can share that with your friends and your coworkers and people at church. And it's mastering the story is what I want us to get. It's like a blueprint to everything. I have a dear friend who is an architect, and he I just love to see the way his mind thinks. He never thinks in terms of little items. He thinks globally. He thinks everything. He's got engineering in him. He's thinking the mechanical engineering parts. And it's just wonderful to hear him think. He's not thinking about doorknobs and things like that. He's thinking of the blueprint. He sees the whole. That's what stories allow you to do. Once you master the story, you'll be ready for pulpit, for Bible study, for street corner, for office building. You can tell the story anywhere, right? But you've got to be mastered by the story. The story has to come in you where you breathe it. One of my favorite statements about one of my favorite all-time preachers, Spurgeon. Spurgeon, when he was 19, if you read Charles Spurgeon's sermons at 19, oh my goodness. That brother's got some Negro in him, I'm just telling you. He could preach, y'all. I ain't lying. He's not playing around. At 19, Spurgeon could pack places, and there are no mics. So when he preached, he would flood the zone. He was just profound. There's a story of some business guys who could see his influence socially, came to him and said, Brother Spurgeon, we love your ministry. We see your ability to move the crowds. We would like to offer you a job that would essentially have made him a millionaire of his time. You know, so he can really speak. Can you imagine marshaling that and using it for products? Oh, my goodness. We could make a fortune. That's what they were thinking. You know what he said? He said, thank you oh so much for this wonderful offer from your company, but I won't be able to take your position. I can't afford a pay cut right now. Guys, don't you know what it's like to be able to tell the story? I want to train people who are so good they can go anywhere. I've spoken the story in front of 70,000 folk. I love to speak it in an elevator going to the 60th floor. It doesn't matter where I'm at. I want to be skilled in the story. Because if I master the story, then Christ is able to freely use me. He can use me in the context he wants me to go. Either with friends or my neighbors or business, I've got the story. So the story must master me, and then I'm free to be used by the Nazarene. And this is, to me, the way you disciple. I want to know how well you know the story. Can you tell it? Have you memorized all the texts? Are they in you? Is it your story now? You know, a book I really like, it influenced me when it came out. And I still read it. I just got my digital copy. And you guys will know the book. Leroy Ames, The Lost Art of Disciple Making. Remember that book? Great book. Oh, my goodness. Navs, I teethed on navigator stuff. I mean, I didn't even have teeth in the Lord. It was just good food. Surely you can say that. Amen. Yes. Navigators, you should have said, yes, we're the best. We're better than anybody. We're the best. You won't do that because you're humble. And white people. But, okay, here we go. Look, in this thing, he had this wonderful illustration. You remember? He said, what is the reason that a shoe plant actually exists? What does it do? And he said, there's all of these inputs and then process and then outputs, right? I mean, in the church, he sort of compared the church to that. So you take a shoe manufacturing plant. The purpose is to make shoes. I've got sort of slip-onable shoes. The purpose of a shoe plant is to make shoes. So you bring money in and resources, man hours. You put it machines. You get leather and all the materials. You put them in a plant. You figure it out with some good project help and good foremen and a good workflow. And you determine the particular models of shoes that you want, and you expect shoes to come out. Can you imagine investing in a shoe manufacturing plant and no shoes ever came out? It's a bad investment. You get your money out, or you would have words with the foreman or somebody. Bill, we can't have this. I put $15,000 in this. When am I going to get some out of this? You can't have a plant and not bring it. How many shoes are you going to put? To be quiet, how many shoes are you going to have this month? You know, you would have conversations like that, right? Don't tell me you wouldn't. I know there are some good businessmen in here. You would have that conversation. You want shoes. Dear friends, what is the church about? Think all the energy and everything that we put in, all the stuff, ministers, programs, vacation Bible school, Sunday school, small groups, children's church, youth group, all the stuff. What do you expect to come out of church? Disciples. Very easy. Imes put that in his book, and it just made total sense, right? That's the reason we exist. We exist for disciples. That's why we exist. The church is to produce disciples in the same way a shoe plant produces shoes. That's why we exist, to make disciples. Dear friends, I want to make an argument. You don't have to accept this, but I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it in this session and the next one. The only reason, the only way we can make disciples is we must learn, live, and share the story of Christ. All forms of materials and methods and devotionals and all that stuff is about mastering the master story and conforming my life to it so I can share it with others and train them to share it with others. It's a story, though. Guys, you need to know how important this is for me, a missionary, trying to train people in places where Christ is not known. How can I train? Look, I'll never forget, dear friends, I kid you not, I am trying to innovate so we can set the gospel loose in the great societies among the poorest neighborhoods on earth. I have no time. They have no money. You can't get books to them. How are you going to get it to them? How are you going to train them? I mean, this is what that keeps me up late. They love Christ, but they can't read. I don't know their language. How do I multiply disciples? Guys, it's very easy. The story is easy. That's where it came to us. If I could persuade a group this size to master the story of Jesus in a way that it's so rich in you, you can share it in all these venues in your own circle. That's how we really multiply the gospel. It's very easy. It's not hard. I'm going to exegete this text. You know it. Jesus came, all authority is mine in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. This command sort of anchors our interest until we see Jesus again. It's his great command. He wants us to go, starting in Jerusalem and in Samaria and then throughout the earth. He wants us to make disciples of him, not of culture. Not of religion, not of politics, not of our own Western ways. Disciples of Jesus, got nothing to do with Republican. You know that there are billions of people who don't think in terms of Republican and Democrat or any American categories? Billions? Billions of people don't care about our politics. Dear friends, we've got to move away from subcultural schemes to a more biblical, clear, simple, easy, transferable, dynamic thing. And I'm convinced that if we look at our materials and programs and books and all of that through that story lens, if we get the story straight and learn it and live it and share it, we can make disciples, y'all, in bunches. And that's the argument I'm making. I don't know if it's going to work. You'll be the judge of that. Okay. All right. I've got one fan. Okay. One. Dear friends, this is it. Jesus is Lord. And that's the foundation of it all. It's not how smart I am, how eloquent I am. Because Jesus is Lord. He has commanded us to be and to make disciples of Christ among all people. And I think the only way to do that is to get the story straight. And that's all I want to talk about for the rest of my time, in this time and the next. So I'm going to explain as best I can, just as a foundation, this Matthew 28 text. We'll explore the theme throughout the Bible, and then I'll have a takeaway in this particular session. Let's begin by explaining the text in Matthew 28. Jesus begins with a statement that is the foundation of all discipling. Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Dear friends, Jesus Christ is Lord. Could you say that with me? Jesus Christ is Lord. That is the oldest, most potent, final statement of the Christian faith historically in the world, that Jesus is Lord. It is called in theology the Great Confession. It's greater than any other thing. It's the foundation of all theology, all worship, all spiritual formation. Jesus Christ is Lord. Guys, he's not president or prime minister. He's not just emperor. He's Lord. All things in heaven and on earth have been given to him. We could see glimpses of this when he was on earth. Who could walk on water the way he did or spit on the ground? And make mud pies and rub them into guys born blind and tell them, go wash. Who can be in the presence of demon-filled people and just make gestures? I think the demoniac of the Gadarenes, you know, the guy who was filled with legion, Jesus said, what's your name? Shut up. First he said, shut up. Like my mama. I'm talking. I would talk to my mama, and she would say, shut up. Now tell me something. And I would say, Mama, I can't shut up and tell you something. Now, I whispered that because I would have lost my lips on the floor. Jesus told the Gadarenes guy, do you remember that? He said, who are you? He ran up to Jesus. They knew who he was. He could walk in a room. And they're frightened to death. We know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. Shut up, he would say. He's Lord, guys. He's not a shaman. He doesn't mix chemicals in a thing and stir and pronounce words. It's not the Da Vinci Code. He's not running around to different things and reading incantational things. Jesus is Lord. It means that he's in control. He can stick his head in a tomb and say, Lazarus, come out. And if he hadn't said Lazarus first, every dead body in that room would have come out. He's Lord, guys. Do you understand? Maybe you don't understand what this means. All authority is mine. That's why nobody's going to tell me where I can't go. I want churches to be planted in the ISIS community. I want everyone on earth to hear. Jesus is Lord. That means no place is absent. We go everywhere, even the places that hate us. Guys, I don't know if you really understand how dynamic this is. All authority in heaven and earth is given to me. And it's on that basis that we go, dear friends. God has granted in this place, he has all authority. He's the master pattern now. So, I mean, this is why this is so wonderful to me. I want to be a theologian when I grow up. But it's very easy to be. Because quite literally, he's the master pattern. As Lord, I don't need to be clever. Dear friends, you know what I worry about? A group like the Navigators, that you would rely on technique and history to do what only the Spirit and the gospel can do. Do you hear what I'm saying? I love the wheel, but the wheel has not ever made a disciple any more than a hammer could brag about fixing a table. I've never seen a crescent wrench, you know, just proud. I'm the crescent wrench. Yeah, I said it. You want me to spell it? I can spell it, Mr. Penner. I'm a crescent wrench. A crescent wrench has never fixed anything. Carpenters and mechanics fix things. Without Christ, none of your methods mean anything. You think that any books or anything that we've done matter at all? Do you think that you can make any change in your life or anybody else's without Christ? Isn't he the one who said, I shut a door and nobody can open? I'll open a door and I don't need any doorstops. Now, that's a Don Davis translation of it. God, but do you see what I'm saying? He's Lord. It means that he said, Don, I'm Lord now. I'm in charge of it all. All authority is given to me. Now go. Go anywhere. Go everywhere. Tell this story in the bedroom, in the penthouse, on the street corner. Tell it under bridges where people are soaked in urine and mumbling in mental illness. Tell them on Skid Row. Tell them anywhere you can find them. I'm Lord now. I want them all. I want all of them. Now, I don't know if that's the Lord you serve. A wild Lord. To me, when I think of him, I don't think of somebody I can tame. I'm afraid of him. He's Lord of heaven and earth. And on that basis, I tell you to go. Guys, he's a humble Lord. He said, have this mind in yourselves. That's why I love the story so much. I've just saturated myself in his stories. Read them over and over and over and over again. The outline of the story is mine. I can tell it. I'll never forget hearing a story by H.A. Ironside, the great Moody prophet in the Old Testament. He went into a fever on his deathbed, and he just began to pronounce whole chapters of the Old Testament in his fever. Professor Ironside knows more scripture in his fevered mind than many of us do. How well do you know the story? If you were the only person we could parachute into an unreached people, how much of the Bible would they have through you? I mean, what do you got? How well do you know the story? I'm not asking about how many times have you heard it. I'm talking about how, can you produce a gospel? You know, for a time we actually thought about, Rich, having our students memorize a gospel. That's where we stand. You're going to know the Bible, or you're not going to be a graduate of our place. He's Lord. You don't get to just do whatever is convenient for you in a sleepy devotional once or twice a week and call yourself a disciple. How can that be? Guys, this is important. This is important because all the fundamental things about this are in you. You determine how you. Lincoln said something I love. You know Lincoln's scowl? Lincoln could be thinking happy thoughts. I just won a wonderful marble game. But his face showed, he was just like serious looking. He said, every person is responsible for their face. Every person is responsible. Think of your face right now. Are you smiling? You should be smiling. The closer I come to you, you should be smiling. I'm just a happy person. And you just, guys, every person here is responsible for how deep you are in the Nazarene. Every person here. Don't blame that on that. I don't blame that on any of my colleagues or anything. Have this mind in you, Don. It's actually, this translation of English Standard is correct. It's plural. Have this mind among y'all. All of us should have this mind, which is ours in Christ. He was in the form of God, the very morphe of God, and he didn't even think that's something to hold on to. How can you speak a trillion galaxies into place in infinite glory, shoreless as an ocean, in beauty and light, and determine that you would be screwed into the uterine wall of a woman and pass through the birth canal? Look at his mind. Look at who he is. Look at who he is. He's amazing beyond words. Have this mind in you, Don, that was in him. Even though he was God, he emptied himself, took on the form of a servant, became in the likeness of men. And then as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death. And therefore, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name that is above every name, that at his name, every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. to the glory of God. This is the foundation of everything to me in the church. This is why we worship him. This is why we give the gospel. This is why we have ministries. This is why we do what we do. Jesus of Nazareth is Lord. There are no rivals, no other takers. He alone is Lord. He went to the depths in order that he could feel the heights. Paul said, he is the one and only. And we tell his story. And frankly, I think that is the way I found how to do this. I think that for me, discipleship is all a species of telling this story. I want to ground people in the story. I want them to master everything about his life, all the Hebrew scriptures that led up to him coming, and then his birth, and then, you know, his visit with the Magi. That's a significant thing. I take that seriously. His journey toward Calvary and his death in those great 3 days, his resurrection, his ascension, his current session, him sending the Holy Spirit. The Spirit now illumines our minds that he is Lord of all. He should be preached to the world, and soon and very soon he is going to establish a new order. He will reign forever over his people in a reclaimed heaven and earth. And this story, as simple as it is, look, I intend, we want every single person at Tumi to be able to become a master at this story. You're not going to graduate from us if you can't tell the story. We need you to tell it with no Bibles. I need you to just tell it. I need to know if you understand the story of the world. This is the story that narrates it all. To get this is to get everything. This is what has been believed everywhere, always, and by all of us. So, dear friends, I truly do believe this is the key. The next session, I'm gonna show you how I think we can do that. But for me, going into the world and making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe what I've commanded you, there is a Christ-centered story focus on discipleship. Guys, with all due respect to the Pauline epistles, there is a Christ-centered focus in the Great Commission. Do you hear what I'm saying? Many of us have mastered Romans and Ephesians and Galatians. You don't know anything about Luke. You don't know any of his parables or his prayers. You are ignorant of the Gospels, and you still use the word disciple a lot. Something is wrong with that. You're not reading the text carefully. Teaching them to observe what I have commanded you. Christ-centered. Dear friends, if you do this, he said, I'm with you to the end of the age. You're not alone. But this is it. Go make disciples, baptize them in the name of the triune God, teach them to do my commands, and I will be with you to the very end of the earth. Dear friends, look, to explore this theme, the church exists to make disciples of Jesus, not Paul, not of our denomination, not of our ministries. We exist to make disciples of Jesus. This begs a question. It means that you're a disciple of Jesus, that you actually know Jesus. How well do you know Jesus? How well can you explain to me your understanding of Jesus? How thorough, how thick is your understanding of his miracles and parables, of his engagements? Do you understand those? They're in me. They're ready to be taught. They're ready to be taught. I know them. I'm his disciple. I follow him. It means that you have to give yourself to master that content. And this is where the evangelical church is so weak right now. We would much rather teach topical sermons and series, the CSI series, the wonderful series. And do wonderful things. Let me see. I see Brother Dennis is walking around. That frightens me to death as a presenter. Oh, my goodness. I've got 5 minutes left. And he gave me 15 minutes, and I still only have 5 minutes. Guys, look, every member should play their role in that high purpose. It means my vision of the priesthood of all believers is that every single one of you is a secret agent. Every one of you, your life story is as unique as your fingerprint. There are people in your circle that no one else knows. You exist so you can be Christ to those people in your little circle. Your circle is unique. Nobody is like yours. Yours is unique. It's beautiful, guys. It's wonderful. You know, if I went to Chicago If you went with me to Chicago and I went to a pretty tough neighborhood, and I went up to the neighborhood and I took you with me and we walked up the, you know, stairs of the stoop and say, man, don't say anything crazy because you're going to get us both hurt. And then I knock on the door. It's a nice day here in Chicago, isn't it? Pretty rough. Look at that down there, man. Let's not go down there right now. And the guy would open the door, say, who are you? All I have to do, Rich, is say, I'm Short's boy. Short was my mother's nickname. My mother was one of 14 kids. Each one of them had eight. A little family in my family is eight kids. If you only have seven kids in my family, they say, what's the matter with you? You don't like kids? What's wrong with you? I mean, look, Short's boy? I'm Short's boy. That's like a secret code for me to go to all of these people, cousins and every. I can bring them in. Only me. I'm Short's boy. You're somebody too. There's your aunt, your sister, your brother, your neighbor. No one else can talk to them. If they're going to be a disciple, you're our only shot. Elijah, Isaiah, look, for heaven's sake, Peter himself is not going to come back and do better work than you. They'll only listen to you. You're all we got. This is why you have to master the story. This is the viral nature of disciple making. Each of us in our own little circle, we get that, and then we can be part of a kingdom displaying community. We are Christ's agent in what the Greeks call oikos. It's a family unit. It's a unique personal circle of family, friends, and associates. You can see this. It's all throughout the Bible. I don't have time. But you can see this in Acts 16, the Philippian jailer. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. That word household is the Greek term oikos. It's a pregnant word. It means friends, families, associates, business partners. It's a network. And that's the way the gospel went forward. Who did Andrew, first thing Andrew did when he went to tell somebody about Messiah? Who did he go to? Peter, his brother. Who's the first guy that Nathaniel went to after he heard? Philip went. I'm sorry, I switched them. Who's the first person that Philip went to? Nathaniel. He was from Bethsaida. He knew him. He knocked on, man, we found a dude whom the prophets and Moses wrote about in the law. Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph. He said, what, man? What good can come out of Nazareth? That's on the wrong side, brother. He said, come and see. The most natural thing is for you to go, people. This is easy to go. Your kinship, your friendships, your associates is the most strategic way that the gospel goes. This is why we need ordinary people to master the story. Not preachers. They never see anybody lost. The most isolated people in ministry are preachers. Don't tell a preacher, would you go visit my mama? Forget it. He can't visit everybody's mama. And many of them are introverted. Oh, my heaven. I've got 2 minutes. I had a dear friend. He was one of my students at Wheaton. Rob Bell, have you heard of Rob Bell? Rob Bell, he got famous, got sort of crazy. I would preach in his church. Jerry, it was the most amazing church. I would get on his platform, and 13,000 chairs surrounded me. And it's in the round, so I could preach to this side. You know, I'll preach to that side. Preach to that, and then walk over to this side. Like, you know, it made my bad preaching more legitimate in my mind. Rob, I tried to tell Rob that the most significant thing that you can do is not tinker with the great tradition, but free people to live it. Master it in their lives, ordinary people. Guys, if we would take this seriously, we could reach an amazing amount of people. My vision of training is every single Christian is Christ's personal oikos ambassador in their own oikos, among their immediate family, their relatives, their close friends, their neighbors, their associates, their acquaintances, and the strangers they bump into. These, every single one of us is unique. And this is the way the gospel has always grown. ordinary people who have mastered the story and share it in the context of their own unique life circle. You don't need, this is a marvelous thing. Kinship, relationships, friendships, associates, we all have them. Immediate family, I'm Shorts boy. Nobody in this room shares that. I mean, friendships. I think of my friendships, the neighbors in, on the street, my brother next door, he works on cars in the yard. I love that brother. I'm working on him. I'm sharing my life with him. And what about the associates, work and job, if you are in a business or whatever? All of those people are yours. Y'all, this is an effective way to make disciples. It's biblical. It's natural. There's no cold calling. Receptivity is high. Everybody knows you. Every person is there. I just think this is the way the gospel goes forward. This is the way we can reach the world, by training every Christian to master the story in your own unique life circle. And this is the reason why we have churches, so you can become an expert. You can learn it, so you can share it with the people in your circle. Only if the church, and frankly, only if the pastors and the staff are actually equipping people in the story. Let me ask you a question as I close. How long have you been in church, and how well do you know the story? Two simple questions. Could you disciple me if I didn't know a thing about Christ? You disciple me in the story. Help me understand who he was and what he did and what he's about, what his intent is, where how to live. As you've received Christ Jesus, so walk in him. Christianity is simple. Master the story. And this is how it grows. This is a navigator's idea. The four generations, faithful people who train others, who entrust it to reliable people who are able to teach others. The mathematics are sound, but where we're bad at is that our ordinary rank and file people don't know the story at all. They just don't know it. Let me close with this. This cat is either crazy or really fearless, right? I love this cat because I think in some ways God designed us to be fearless. Let as we eat our lunch, as we get ready to eat, dear friends, I would like to challenge you personally to rediscover the power of the Christian simplicity. There's a simplicity here that if you get it, you can transform your life. You'll transform your ministry. To me, ministry is simply mastering the story well enough that I can embody it and share it with those in my life circle. Very simple. You don't have to change a thing. You don't have to move anywhere. You can start right where you are with the people in your circle and begin to flesh out what the story of Jesus really means. Because it's a compelling story. It is, I'm sorry. It's a compelling story. I've never heard anything like it. Let me say this, and I'll say this, and we'll eat. We have created all these resources to help people learn the story. Every year, for years, we have created a calendar that essentially takes the liturgical year of the church. We're evangelicals. I'm a Protestant. I'm not Catholic, but I want people to understand the power of the story. So we created a calendar that is built on understanding history and time, as it were, from Jesus's point of view. It's not just Christmas, it's the birth of Christ. The Epiphany is the manifestation of Christ. Quite literally, Lent is the lowliness of Christ, and the Holy Week is the Passion of Christ. The resurrection of Christ is Easter. The Ascension is the Ascension of our Lord Jesus, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And then the church year ends with the season after Pentecost. We've created little tools like this filled with scripture and everything to help ordinary people just master the story. I would sincerely ask you to consider your readiness in the story, because you're the only one that we have to, you're the ambassador of Christ in your unique life circle. No one else. Dear brother, you told me you were a bus driver and you were going to get your, just think of the mastery of your life, that to have the opportunity to be around those children, those people, or if it's a metro bus. element. Just think of the opportunity he has to be an ambassador. It's, I'm not talking about sermons or whatever. Guys, I'm saying that once that story gets hold of you, we can't help ourselves. We can't. It's going to leak out. I'm going to find a way. I'm going to wiggle it in. I'm going to wedge it in. And once the wedge is in, I'm going to knock it. I'm a rascal. I'm going to be reckless because that story has changed me. What would happen if you became a master of the story and simply made your determination to become his agent in your circle with your aunt and your sister and your neighbors? Guys, this is how we change the world. We infect it. We infect it with the story. Look, I've gone long enough. Let me stop before I wear out my welcome with Dave. Would you pray with me, please? Father, thank you for the story. Thank you for the church. The reason we exist is to make disciples. Lord, that's not some abstract thing. We just let the story just come over us. We master the story. We use tools, Lord, that this story can transform us, transform our mind. And then we become your agent right where we are with our friends and our neighbors and our family, just where we live, so they can see you. Lord, I pray there would be a revolution in the NAVs here in this state. I do. I pray they would rediscover the story again and equip each other in it and set one another free to be ambassadors of Christ in their own Oikos circle so that new friends and new family and new acquaintances can hear about this gentle Nazarene who is Lord and King of all. We love him with our hearts. Lord, bless us as we continue. Thank you for this time together. In Christ's name, amen.